Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Karen Cattaleen, filling in for Alan today. Always a pleasure to have you along, as Alan is on assignment. Here is his motto. We want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. I'd love to chat more with you, but we've got a tremendous guest to open the show, and I always love having him on. He's funny, he's smart, and prolific. Creator of the Bananas Republic Substack, former managing editor of The Stream, former VP creative director of All Comedy Radio, former Voice of America producer, Voice of America, not Vice, and co-author of the counterterrorism memoir, Hostile Intent, Protecting Yourself Against Terrorism. So many things to talk with you about, Al Parada. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's great, especially now that I'm head of the Vice of America. That sounds like a really fun fight.
Well, you'd make a great Democrat then, wouldn't you? You know, there's so many things. You've got two articles out. Which thing is up for you between the L.A. riots, which are replays of former L.A. riots, always L.A. riots, rent-a-mobs, and Trump versus Musk? I'm going to give you a choice.
Okay. Well, very quickly about the Trump and Musk thing, because that's sort of a sideshow. That's like, you know, Joan Crawford and Betty Davis sort of thing. You know, it's, I mean, I think that will pass right over. And I think it'll pass over because I think Trump really likes Musk.
Passover's already over, Al. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And it's a Jewish joke. Yeah.
And his kid, he let his kid leave boogers on his desk. You know, so there's a bond there, I think, that I think is going to pass over. And I actually, I thought about it over the weekend really quickly, that it might be like Susie Wiles, the chief of staff, because she didn't want any drama around the White House, and Musk is kind of a drama creator. I think she might have been like the one who's kind of like going, no, don't, you know, we're not interested really in making up right now, because Trump seems to be, oh, I wish him well. And I think that will pass over pretty quickly, because I think Musk
Let me read you the blurb I wrote that's going to Twitter. This is a heads up for people because we didn't post it yet, but it will be posted. Is the dust starting to settle from the dust up from Trump v. Musk? Who's nursing his wounds and who hardly broke a sweat? Hint, Donald Trump didn't even need a paper towel.
Yeah, I don't think
he's sweating it at all.
Once you've been shot in the head, I think things kind of your perspective on people saying things.
You know,
especially, yeah,
I think you're right.
I think he's fine. He'll be fine.
Thank you.
With other things right now,
he'll come out smelling like a rose. Let's talk about this despicable replay of more civil unrest, and let's all riot in favor of terrorists and criminals and rapists and murderers, because that's a good thing to do.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead.
And in all seriousness, you know, I was there in the riots in LA like 30 years ago. I wasn't responsible for them. I had nothing to do with it. I'm not taking any credit for it.
But, glad you made that clear.
Very good. I had to make it clear. But it is a horrific feeling. And if people want to know like why I went from being a Hollywood liberal to being, you know, hated by my high school friends. It's part of it. Was a two things were really major. One was people like Maxine Waters pouring flames on the city and letting it burn. I'm not one of those people. I can't be party to that. The other thing was watching a bunch of illegal immigrants take over, you know, the highways I helped pay for, waving Mexican flags, wanting more stuff out of me.
Right, you know, right. So, and if they love that flag, why don't they go back to their country?
Sure.
Don't want to be American. They want to tear down America, don't they?
Yeah. During the World Cup, wave whatever flag. You know, that's fine. You know, we get that.
Yeah.
This is serious.
That is
trying to reclaim the territory. for, you know, it's not about, you know, it's about a reclaiming. It's an invasion, and it's dangerous. Now, the flip side to this is I'm imagining, especially after the fires in Los Angeles, there are a lot of people have been voting Democrat out there, all the liberal types who are looking at it and might have the same sort of transformational light bulb go off that I did. That's what they're, because it's ridiculous. When you got people burning, you know, self-driving cars.
Yeah.
like the self-driving cars. Are
yeah, well, it wasn't violence because at least they didn't kill an actual human. So it was really not violence at all.
Oh,
destroying.
Yeah. By the grace of God.
Yeah.
There's stuff they were throwing down on police. It's only by the grace of God.
It's insane. You. And it needs to stop. Al, there's so many ways I could go with this, and I wish, you know, I could have you for like 3 segments. I really could, because we're just getting started. But you touched on something that is a real pet subject of mine. I saw David Mamet over the weekend because he has a book out, and that's one interview I've wanted to get for a long time, probably never will. But I'm always fascinated with former liberals and what elixir they take. Mm-hmm. Now, you did allude to that.
Yeah.
What elixir do they take that make them suddenly get a clue and realize they've been cheering for death, destruction, and communism, and suddenly they wake up? Can we bottle that? What is it?
Well, man, I think, at least in my case, part of it had to be like an evolution away from the hatred of the other side.
Yeah,
like for me to switch party affiliation, I mean, it felt like a betrayal. Oh my gosh, it was embarrassing. Right. It was like, you know, I mean, I could have walked into a strip club on Sunset Boulevard and felt less guilty than switching from a demo, to do the R, you know. But so I think you got to get over that a little bit. The reflexive, you know, wanting to disagree with, like in this case, somebody like Trump or the Republicans. But at some point, I think that a lot of people, like in my case, you're like going, I don't identify with that. I don't, you know, when people are telling me like Kamala Harris, that these are peaceful protests, or Gavin Newsom or any of these yahoos are talking about these are peaceful protests, and I'm seeing on my TV, you know, the stuff, or I'm stuck on the 101. Hello. You know, that could change your mind quick about some things when people start messing with your freeway, you know, messing with the 101.
You know what, Al?
You know, see flames and smoke, like smoke rising. That becomes an emotional thing.
It's really like getting out of a cult. I mean, what you describe is the same thing that people coming out of cults describe. Their whole social network, they've been taught to hate and despise people outside the cult. They, you know, they're dangerous and they're evil because they're not part of the cult, to get you not to pay attention and not ask questions. And it's really that powerful, because leftism is sold that way as kind of a social network. It's not unlike the gangs, you know, that they get kids who, I know this is a stretch, it sounds like, but it's not really. They get kids who have dysfunctional families. Lots of people have dysfunctional families, don't go that way, because that becomes their family, a family of criminals. They're pushing criminality. They're supporting, applauding, and inciting criminality, this radical leftist party. Is that an overstatement?
No, not at all. They want the anarchy. They want the flames. They want the money. And that's where you hope even the Hollywood liberal types, you know, the rational ones, might go, this is not, you know, there's a part you just go, wait, this is not right. This is not making sense to me. You can't blame it on Trump, you know? And
yeah, they riot and then they blame Trump for it. That's so typical, isn't it?
It's reflexive action. And and also, again, part of the cult idea is also in that culture in L.A., at least where I was hanging out, it was assumed you were a liberal and a Democrat. It was a shock.
It's an arrogant thing.
They don't. It's like it's an alien thing.
It's not a choice. It's a fait accompli. Al, you know, I got to get you back on to talk about this book, Hostile Intent, Protecting Yourself Against Terrorism. I mean, I wish to God we didn't need to read it, but, you know, we do.
It's a post 9. What's great, quick plug, it was written
after
9/11, but so much of it, there are things in there that are so timely to today, especially in things involved with the border and who you let in, who you don't. And
next time I'm on or whatever, we got to have you on to talk about it. I assume we can get it at Amazon, where books are sold.
Books are sold.
Best of luck to you. Can't wait to talk to you again. It's really fun always to have you on the program. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are off and running with the Al and Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S., but new research offers hope. A recent clinical trial shows that a once-daily anti-inflammatory medication may help reduce dangerous plaque in the arteries, offering new options for people living with heart disease. Cardiologist and program director at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, Dr. Matthew Budoff, explains how this breakthrough could change cardiovascular care.
We found that low-dose colchicine, 0.5 milligrams, can help reduce coronary plaque volume and inflammation in patients with heart disease. This may offer a new way to prevent future heart attacks or strokes by targeting a root cause, inflammation.
These findings build on prior research showing low-dose colchicine's role in lowering cardiovascular risk in high-risk patients, and it could be a vital part of your doctor's care plan.
When combined with other standard treatments, low-dose colchicine offers another tool to help patients live longer, healthier lives.
Learn more at CVDinflammation.com.
Funko's iconic pop collectibles, the vinyl figures with large signature heads inspired by pop culture characters and celebrities across film, TV, music, sports, and more, are a global sensation. Now, Funko's custom Pop Yourself line offers everyone a chance to create personalized pop replicas of themselves, friends, and loved ones. Skip the boring gifts this season and give dads and grads the gift of Pop Yourself, a personalized gift that's just as unique as they are. Graduation gowns and Father's Day accessories are just a few of the options to personalize your perfect pop. Jen Han, Funko's general manager of Pop Yourself.
Pop Yourself is more than a gift. It's a custom-made tribute. We're delighted to offer everyone the opportunity to create a personalized, thoughtful gift. So ditch the mug or gift card and give your dad or grad a fun, unforgettable keepsake.
Try Pop Yourself to commemorate special moments such as Father's Day, birthdays, baby reveals, or just about anything. To create your Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. We're delighted to have as our next guest, entrepreneur and expert in the intricate relationship between government, autonomy, and freedom. He's author of Freedom Revealed, A Simple, Elegant System, Isn't It Ever? Donald Wilkie joins us right now on the Alan Nathan program. Hi, Donald. Good to have you along.
Hi, Karen. Great to be here.
It's a shame that we have to be talking about what we're about to talk about, but it seems like deja vu all over again. Riots in California. Anybody who doesn't think that there are payers and players who are rustling all this up, I fear that there will be more, I hate to call them blue states, they're really red states, who are going to start doing this for the summer. I mean, it was scheduled for the summer. I'm sure they saw it on their calendar. But I want to ask you as an opening salvo here, is California Governor Gavin Newsom actually leading an insurrection and defying attempts to stop the riots? And is he is it actionable?
Well, that's a big question.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
I think it goes – can I just tell a little bit of my history real quickly?
Please do.
I was born, raised, and my business was in Detroit. And Detroit, as you know, in the 60s was the industrial capital of the world. I mean, everything that you could imagine mechanically was in Detroit. And 10 years or 20 years later, by 1980, 1990, everything was gone. And this is the story of all the major cities in the country. I mean, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Baltimore. And what it really is a return to anarchy, because the reason all the businesses in Detroit left, and I was there, so I know, is there was no law and order. Your business would get broken into. It didn't matter. Your employees wouldn't show up for work. You couldn't fire them without getting fined or having to pay a big amount in unemployment. It was just a world without law. And what we see now in Los Angeles is anarchy again. And I don't think it is an odd occurrence. I think it is a plan.
That's exactly what I think, too. And most even conservative pundits will not say that because they don't want to open themselves up for criticism. But you tell us why you think it's part of the plan, and then everybody else can compare notes, because I think a lot of people have been watching this long enough to say this ain't accidental, not even a little bit.
No, and it's not accidental. Detroit, again, is my hometown where my business was. I was forced out. I was forced out because I couldn't afford
terrible.
To do business in Detroit. Not my competition was so low. It was the government. You know, you would figure in a developed country like the United States, you would have law and order. And these are the laws. And we tried to follow the law. But it was impossible in the city of Detroit, because if you had the worst actor and you fired him, for example, you were always found to be in error, and you always had to pay this guy. It was just a real crazy situation. And that was no accident. It was planned. And when you're going through it, you can't believe it. Mm-hmm. But once you're through it, you look back and say, yeah, they planned this. And remember, Detroit was the industrial marketplace of the world. And today, there's nothing left. There's fields. There's farms. It's really, truly unbelievable.
You know, I want to ask you, so then what's the motive, and whose motive is it?
Well, if you can destroy the industrial backbone of a country, you weaken it incredibly. And President Trump is doing, he's not weakening. He's saying, look, we've lost our manufacturing. We have to get it back. If we go to war, we have to be able to make things. If we need drugs, we have to be able to make them. But what this was a concerted effort to destroy our industrial base and ship everything offshore, at which point America could be taken over. And I think that's exactly what was the attempt to be done. That's what they were trying to do.
Well, I'm going to read for you a tweet that I just put out. Who had rent riots and activating terrorist cells in the first summer of Trump on their bingo card? The issues are interchangeable, but the payers and the players are always the same. Their plan is to keep tearing down America until they can replace it with a communist state. Is that too overstated?
I wouldn't disagree with anything of that.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it. Yeah. Well, thank you. It is, because we've watched it again and again and again. These people hate America as it's founded, and they want to tear it down completely until there's nothing left, which is precisely what you said.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, when you're going through it, like I said, I got kicked out of Detroit back in the early 80s. And when you're going through it, you go, I can't believe this. I can't believe the courts would have these decisions. I can't believe they're giving people who do nothing, you know, money all the time. And then when you get a distance away, you can look at it more objectively and you say, gosh, I think that was a plan. I think it was planned like that all along, because nobody in their right mind would do the things that the government, the people in power in the city of Detroit did. I mean, they destroyed that city. They had to see all the big industrial taxpayers were moving. They had to see that. And they did nothing. So, yeah, I think it was a concerted effort and a plan.
It's kind of like saying that opening the borders was just incompetence. I think it's
ridiculous.
Incompetence to say that. It's incompetence to say that you opened our country up to terrorists and rapists and murderers into this country to wreak havoc on law-abiding citizens, and it was just incompetence. I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you look at the basic of government. Basic of government is law and order. You bring in 10, 20 million people, all of a sudden you've destroyed law and order. You know, that has to have been purposeful,
accidental. And it also was on cue, wasn't it? We saw these criminals coming into the country, getting flown in past ICE, bypassing ICE, using taxpayer dollars to put them up in fancy hotels and giving them cell phones and health care that law citizens wouldn't get. Of course, it was deliberate. And then furthermore, how come none of these riots and cells and terrorism happened while President Otto Penn was in the White House, do you think? I think we know the answer. It's a rhetorical question. But how about that?
Yeah, exactly. It was a purposeful method of eliminating law and order, which would weaken the United States, which would open it up to take over.
Hey, listen, I hate to ask you at such short notice, but could you stay for one more segment?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I would just love that. We're with Donald Wilkie. We're just getting started, and we have an extra segment. I'd like to spend it on Donald Wilkie, entrepreneur and expert in relationship of government. We're going to have him back right after the break. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network.
Here in the Great Hall of Shells at the Bailey Matthews National Shell Museum and Aquarium, you can see behind me plenty of species that we mentioned, right? So we wanted to find a way to celebrate, if you will, and invite everybody to come celebrate with us wherever you may be. Of course, we want you here. But different things you can do is visit inside here and learn a little bit about the shells, and then go out onto the beach and pick them yourselves and then bring them home as a souvenir. Because we are the seashell capital of the world, we wanted to coincide with the first day of summer as well, because what better way to celebrate, right? So you're welcome. There's plenty of things to do, but we always want to see you here. Even more fun to do it around this time of year.
Here on the islands, there is so much to do, not just here, but also on our Wild Mile, which incorporates so much of our outdoor space, the birds and animals and species that you can find on San Juan Captiva Islands. And then we invite you to go on out to the beach, as Miriam mentioned.
Head to visitfortmyers.com. You can get some inspiration, see some photos, and even itineraries there.
Circle K Fuel Day is back. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend, customers can save up to 40 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 22nd. The discount is applied directly at the pump, so customers can enjoy their savings seamlessly. Your purchase will also have an added benefit. To honor our veterans ahead of Memorial Day, 10% of profits will be donated to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, helping military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. As people hit the road over the long weekend, customers can stretch their dollars and help give back to veterans with Circle K Fuel Day. With 5,800 Circle K locations across the U.S. participating in the Fuel Day, mark your calendar to get your discount while supplies last. To find the closest local Circle K store offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/fuel-day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. Donald Wilkie has graciously agreed to stay with us another segment because we were just getting started here. As it relates to the terrorism, that it just seems like the same play over and over and over again. Any more thoughts about that while we were on the break? Because there's so many ways we could go with this.
Yeah, you know, I'm a foundational guy, and I believe that if you get the foundations right, everything all of a sudden makes sense. And in government, you have two systems. One is called anarchy, where there is no government, And that's where it's survival of the fittest. And the other side of the spectrum is despotism. And that's where the government tells you everything you can or cannot do. Now, for a free country, you want to be prosperous. And it's in the marketplace that you create prosperity. And when you distort the marketplace, either through anarchy or through despotism, the marketplace can't work and you get poverty as a result. So the point is to be in the middle somewhere where the marketplace is allowed to work. And when you have anarchy, which is what we saw in all our major cities at one time or another, and even today, you can't get prosperity. And what's the point of being in a free country if there is no prosperity? And what you see in L.A., you see in L.A. is anarchy. And this is really what they're doing.
But it always precedes the communist crackdown. I don't know if you've watched, I probably don't know chapter and verse as much as you do, when places like Venezuela got taken over by communists. First there's anarchy, and then the tyranny comes right after that. So first they want to tear down liberty, tear down accountability and personal responsibility, so they can replace it with this broad communist top-down government tyranny. It's no accident that they accuse liberty-loving conservatives, not every single one of them are, with the exact thing that they do, right? They call everybody a dictator. They call Trump a Hitler and a dictator when he shows none of those behaviors, but they do.
Exactly. That's been going on for a long time. And that void, when you have anarchy and you are crying for the government to come in, you're exactly right, often leads to the worst despotism. You know, we have to get things under control. And once they take power, that's it. You can't get it back. But I want everybody to understand that prosperity is the goal of life. We want to be happy. We only get one chance at life. And the only way to create prosperity is in the marketplace. Can I tell real briefly?
I was going to ask you about your book. Is that what you're going to talk about? Please do.
a big central part of it is I started looking at nature, and I said, how does nature work? And it came to me, well, everybody said this, there is no waste in nature. And I said, if there is no waste in nature, what is the mechanism that drives it out? And the answer to that is competition. Competition drives waste out of nature. And the other foundation of nature is everything moves to ease. And that's why in the national parks, you see the signs that say, do not feed the animals. If you feed animals, they'll stop feeding themselves. Very, very, very simple.
Yeah.
So you apply those concepts to the marketplace and government, the two big systems that humans have developed, and you see the marketplace operates exactly like nature. It's a competitive system, and everything in the marketplace is a move to ease. I mean, why would you trade unless it made your life easier? Now, when you look at government, you see that it's singular. So in government, there is no competition. So the problem with government is its nature is it has to waste because there's no mechanism to drive waste out. So from this, you realize that the marketplace is what creates prosperity because you have to have competition eliminating waste to create prosperity. And with the government in a free society is supposed to support the marketplace and keep the marketplace safe. When you don't have a government that's supporting the marketplace and keeping the marketplace safe and allowing people to work and allowing people to keep their earnings, well, you either have anarchy or you have despotism, and you have no prosperity. And this is something everybody should be aware of because I'm going to bet everybody wants to live in a prosperous society.
Some want to live off the prosperity of others. I got a question. For you, When I hear you talk and you're saying such important philosophical grounded things about free markets, the Republicans, this is an old lament, have done a terrible job of defending free markets, prosperity, and they've been beaten down maybe with the marvelous advent of Donald Trump, who is a very product of a free market system where the cream rises to the top and merit is rewarded, that, you know, people already feel like capitalism is selfish, freedom and prosperity is selfish, when the real selfish guys are demonizing the merit and the accomplishment of those who earned it.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you have to be able to compete. Competition eliminates waste. This is a very, very simple concept. That creates prosperity. The role of government should be to protect and defend the marketplace, not to beat it up. And so many on the left want to beat it up. And what we have to remember is people don't understand these simple concepts. So in the last election that Trump won, 50% of our fellow citizens voted for big government. They voted for the opposite party that wants big government. Well, big government is the road to poverty. And if people would only understand that, I don't believe they would ever vote for that again.
They're useful idiots, though, because if you hand people crumbs while you're taking the lion's share of the resources, then you'll make them dependent and they'll never want for more.
Do not feed the animals is a powerful sign, isn't it? We can see it with animals, but we can't see it with ourselves.
Well, yeah, you know what the lefties would say? Oh, that's so cruel. That's just so terrible. Now everybody's scraping for a living. It's a whole different mindset. Let me ask you, with just our couple minutes left, tell everybody about this book, Freedom Revealed, a simple, elegant system. We have been already talking about it, but, you know, give us the cherry on top and where we can find the book.
Well, again, freedom is a system. It's a mechanical system. We've always looked at freedom as a philosophical system. But once you look at it as mechanical, that it has elements, that the elements need to be there for the system to work, then you can keep it in fine running order. Competition is important. You know, personal responsibility is important. Limited government is important. And anytime those get out of whack, you lose prosperity. And the thing is, in life, you get one chance, and you want it to be the most prosperous, happiest life you can. And therefore, you want a system of freedom with limited government and a strong marketplace. Yeah. Therefore, you're going to be happy.
I'm so sorry to hear that happened to you in Detroit. And when we look at these cities that were rioted into poverty, like Detroit and Newark, from the 60s, and then Baltimore some years ago, and what has happened to San Francisco, it's so troubling that the left, who destroyed these cities, who advocated the destruction of these cities, are never held accountable for that, ever.
Well, again, it goes to our training. We've been trained for the last 50, maybe 80 years that government will solve our problems. What we have to realize is government is only going to produce waste because there is no mechanism to eliminate waste in government.
Just and like Reagan said, government is the problem.
It's a feature of the system. This is what I want to show. It's a feature of the system.
Well, get Donald Wilkie's book, Freedom Revealed, A Simple, Elegant System. Good luck with it. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Not one, but two segments. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Yes. You're welcome. Well, we're going to wrap up the show with one more guest. Stephen Williford joins us after the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the Alan Nathan Show.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. That's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
Life is expensive for the average American right now. Budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. That's why Metro by T-Mobile is bringing back the classic $40 plan. Get a new 5G phone and a plan for just $40 flat. For a family of four, it's just $25 a line, and each person gets a free 5G phone. That's $350 in savings. When you join any new plan from Metro, the price of talk, text, and data is guaranteed for the next 5 years. Take that, inflation. For more information, visit metrobyt-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. Happy to have with us a guest that we've had many times before. He's always talking about something very, very interesting as it relates to guns and the Second Amendment. He's a spokesperson for Gun Owners of America. He's the archetypical good guy with a gun. In 2017, he stopped the deadliest mass shooting in Texas history. Stephen Willifer joins us right now. Hi, Stephen. Good to have you along. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can, Stephen. Good to hear you. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing superb.
Good. Lots going on in the world. Never has it been more important to honor all of our Bill of Rights. Tell us about this Supreme Court unanimous, shocking, I tell you, a decision that rules against Mexico, bringing a lawsuit against U.S. gun manufacturers in our justice system. Give us the particulars, would you?
Well, how ridiculous. Mexico can't handle drug cartels and stuff, and so they want to blame it on gun manufacturers. And make no mistake, these gun manufacturers aren't making guns and selling them to cartel members. The cartel is getting them through the black market. And you know, you can't stop the cartels from getting guns. You can't. They buy them, and they have full automatic AK-47s and M-16s. And the Mexican government has shown time and time again they don't have the willingness to confront the cartels. Even as much as Donald Trump has said, we'll send military over there and take care of the cartels ourselves, and Mexico said, no, you can't do that. You can't come onto Mexican soil and defend our country against cartels, which makes you kind of scratch your head and say, is that because the Mexican government is being paid off by the cartels? That's the deal. And so they want to sue gun manufacturers here in America, and they want to sue them into non-existence. And how ridiculous is that? Because the cartels, you know, the cartels have a $500 billion budget, and that's been proven. And we have finally, on this side of the border, said that they are a terrorist organization. If the drug cartels couldn't get the guns through the black market, they could build a gun manufacturing plant there and start manufacturing their own. $500 billion for a budget. Think about that for a moment. They could take $1 billion and start creating their own guns if they so desired. And right now, it's too easy to get them through the black market, and they're not getting them from gun manufacturers. They're getting them through the black market. They have AK-47s. We don't manufacture AK-47s in full automatic and stuff. They're getting them from Soviet bloc nations and stuff.
So why would they go to the trouble of suing U.S. gun manufacturers if there wasn't yet again another sinister agenda? The whole thing kind of reminds me of Fast and Furious, not the movie, but something we weren't supposed to know about during the POTUS 44 years. Do you remember that, Fast and Furious? Sounds just like it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. They were taking and forcing, they were forcing gun stores and FFL dealers to sell to the drug cartels, they said, so they could track them. Well, what they were doing,
right?
Yeah, what they were doing is they had no tracking device on them or anything that they were selling across the border. So then they could point back and say, see, these are civilian AR-15s from the United States. They wanted to do that. And you know, we had an ICE agent murdered by one of those Fast and Furious guns.
You know, Stephen, few people really, well, I mean, Alan Nathan listeners understand, but few people really understand the sinister nature of that. Remember when Nancy Pelosi said we have a wraparound smear? We create the problem and then we leak it to someone else. And then we use the story to further our agenda. That's the wraparound smear. So they created the smear on American-made guns so they could try and further restrict American-made guns for Americans. Is that not correct?
That's absolutely correct. So I have a friend, and you can look him up. His name is Victor Avalon. Victor, he was an ICE agent, and it was his partner that got murdered by one of those Fast and Furious guns.
Oh, no. Horrible. It's like collateral damage to these people. They don't care.
They don't care. And horrible. They don't care about horrible. The Mexican citizens that are being killed and controlled by the cartels. And make no mistake, the citizens can't stand up for themselves because there's only one gun store in all of Mexico. And you have to have the right papers to be able to even purchase a gun. And the average Mexican citizen cannot. So if those guns are out there, they're illegal guns to begin with. And they want to blame that on our gun manufacturers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the difference between us and Mexico. And that's why Mexico wants to make it where we can't own guns either. So then we all are under the drug cartels.
The drug cartels are on that side
of the border and not on this side of the border because that very thing, we have guns. We outnumber them.
Well, and there is an extremely radical leftist in Mexico who seems quite hostile towards freedom and free markets. Do you think that has something to do with it, too, as to what's going on right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Their government, I truly believe that their government has been bought out by the cartels. And that's
so
who's
sad.
Really running Mexico. They don't want to change anything because they're being enriched by it.
Yeah.
Please go to gunowners.org and fight for your rights. We've got a lot of things going on right now, including taking suppressors off the NFA Act. And so that you can buy a suppressor just like a firearm. Go to gunowners.org and sign up.
Stephen, you have done so many of these. You've got terrific timing. You did it perfectly. You did the plug for the end, and we have to let you go. Stephen Williford, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show. We appreciate you. Well, we're going to take a break at the top and have a whole nother hour on the Alan Nathan Show right after this. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.